The written sources reveal a fundamental cultural continuity throughout the period that we will study. And this cohesion is demonstrated by the worship of the same gods and heroes and the recounting of the same stories and myths that record their exploits. Although records will also document almost constant warfare and shifting political alliances, these events had little effect on the lives of most farmers or even city dwellers. It's going to be very easy to forget as we focus on the deeds of kings and the broader political perspective that the majority of people who lived in Mesopotamia were focused on sustaining and improving their lives rather than the deeds of a king, even a great king like Sargon of Akkad. About 5,000 cuneiform texts have been lost from the Iraq Museum, and they are being taken from the sites that are currently being looted. These texts will be especially difficult to recover because they are so desirable on the antiquities market and because they are small and easy to transport. As we discuss the wealth of evidence that we can derive from these texts, you will see that the loss of this evidence is especially severe. Looking on a larger scale, rulers who built the most impressive monuments, especially the kings who created and governed the great empires of the first millennium BC, will be an important theme of the latter part of our course. The Assyrians dominate in the early part of this era, and they created an empire that stretched from Iran to the eastern Mediterranean in Syria. For a few years, they even controlled part of Egypt. The Assyrians celebrated their success in huge stone palaces decorated with stone relief sculpture. The most popular images found in these sculptures depicted the rulers as military men who were able to hunt animals and humans with equal success and equal enthusiasm. We can get a taste for this when we turn to a small ivory plaque that probably decorated a chair or some other type of furniture of the Assyrian palace at Nimrud. This exotic material, ivory, gives us first a glimpse into the true luxury of the royal household. The plaque shows a lioness attacking an African youth, probably along the banks of the Nile River, since papyrus reeds wave in the background. The plaque was gilded and inlaid with lapis lazuli and carnelian. It is one of a pair. The other is in the British Museum, and this has been missing since the Iraq Museum was looted in 2003. The Assyrian king, even more than other rulers, was shown as the leader of the army. He was the man who inflicted the most terror, the most violence, and the idea behind these images appears in both texts and in the art of the palaces. The concept that the Assyrians were trying to convey was to frighten their opponents into submitting before a battle was necessary. We will think about the ideology found in these images in more detail when we get to the Assyrian Empire. One of the most common images that we will find at the Assyrian palaces is a half-human, half-bull creature called a lamassu. These protected the doorways to palaces and the major entrances of public buildings. And they showed that the king was protected by the gods. He had a divine force that both justified his rule and protected it. The Assyrians, as they described their campaigns, were very interested in portraying specific historical events. And this is true in both their art and in their texts. On the art of the palaces, we can identify individual ethnic groups as well as historical campaigns. The palaces showed what this particular king did in this particular year and which enemies he was able to defeat and with what great success. In the second half of the first millennium, we'll trace the rise of the Persians, who are an Iranian ethnic group that took over and even expanded the Assyrian Empire. The Persians are probably the best-known Mesopotamian empire because they crossed into Europe in the 5th century BC to attack Greece. They were ultimately unsuccessful, but Greek historians documented these invasions, and they're surprising. In fact, no one was probably more surprised than the Greeks. Their surprising victory over such a powerful empire. Along the way, the Greeks created many of the ideas, both factual and fictional, which persist today about Mesopotamia and the Near East. We will also derive some of these ideas from the Old Testament. Both of these lands, Greece and the Syria-Palestine coast, were the focus of Assyrian and Persian incursions.